darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, and I'm joined by Mr. Jeff Reed on my right, Marty Sparks lighting up the dark from the screening room, and we are ready to rock and roll with another edition of the Hamilton Corner. Right now, most of you are making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time job. And as you're making that transition, I want to encourage you, as I do on a daily basis, to recognize that what you do, what I do outside of our home to generate an income for our families, I describe that as our part-time job, while our full-time jobs are what we do within our family. And I simply want to encourage you, based on the teachings of Scripture, that the first commitment each and every one of us should have is, the first commitment we should have should be to our family. All too often, many people sacrifice their family on the altar of external faithfulness. We want to do better at work. We want to do, you know, these things. We want to do this particular ministry thing. And we often neglect our family. You know, we neglect our homes. We neglect our spouses. Well, it's the Lord's desire that we reverse that and we correct that, making sure we understand that we must serve our families well. The first institution God created was the family. The first command God ever uttered was a command for the context of the family. This is true. It's in the clip, though. Go and check it out. And, yeah, I'm hearing a hissing. I don't know how other people are hearing it. Kind of getting to me a little bit. But I'm going to stay focused. Try to stay focused. But our families, we must serve our families well. I pray routinely, Lord, please let me be more faithful in my home than I am even outside of my home. Of course, this is not an incentive nor an invitation to be slack or to be negligent outside of our home. Because we follow Christ, we should be exemplary outside of our home. But we absolutely must be exemplary inside of our home. And when the scripture says that he that doesn't provide for his own family is worse than an infidel, I would submit to you that that provision includes material provision. But I would also encourage you to consider that it includes spiritual provision. So let us be about our Father's business, beginning in Jerusalem. Instead of allowing the culture to mold and shape us, how about we set the tone for our families starting within our home? That is what we must be about. I see a lot of people asking questions about the hissing sound. We're working on it, but isn't it interesting that on a day like today, the critters want to try to get into the technicality. That's not surprising to me. Now, having said that, let's turn our attention to the Word of God. Today, we're going to go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're going to start in verses 1 through 9, and then we're going to jump down to verses 13 through 20. What this text conveys, it is Mark's recording of Jesus teaching the parable of the soil. And so he tells the parable in the first verses that we're going to read. Then he explains the parable to his disciples in the second portion of the verses that we're going to read. And I want to make some specific points from this text today. It's incumbent upon us to make sure we always navigate the issues of the day with the scripture as our baseline. The scripture is our evaluation mechanism. All right? So here we go. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, Listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears, let him hear. Then Jesus goes on to explain his parable. Verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? He's talking to his disciples here. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Verse 16. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Now, and it proves unfruitful. Well, when Jesus was explaining this, and what I want to focus on primarily here is Jesus explaining the seed sown among the rocky ground. Because Jesus noted that where this seed was sown, it did not have very much soil. It did not have very much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. Jesus explains this as the seed being sown. And first, before I go too far, let me say this, and I've said it before, but I want to emphasize it today. The seed is the word. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard this text absolutely mangled in an effort to convey that the seed is money. The Bible is explicit. Jesus himself said, the sower sows the word. The seed is the word. That's what the seed is. Nothing else. The word. But when Jesus described the seed falling on rocky soil, when he was explaining this parable to his disciples, he said, this is the seed that was sown. And the ones who heard it, when they heard it, they immediately received it with joy. Immediately received it with joy. Jesus is highlighting that the seed that was sown that did not have much soil to it, so that when the sun rose, it scorched it. And Jesus explained this was the word that was sown among those who received it emotionally. There was an exuberant receptivity, but the receptivity had no depth, had no root. This passage directly presents a broadside against the kind of churchianity. Well, I'm just going to warn you, I'm about to step on some toes. That would afford one to be extremely excited during the Sunday go to meeting service. Then before you even get home, when you're at the Cracker Barrel, when you're at the buffet, what was the message about today? I can't remember. But ooh, it sure was good, though. If you are among the ilk, that would profess that we had a great time in church, but you are unable to recall what the instruction from the Word of God was, what the teaching from the Word of God was during the meeting, warning, you may very well be the ones Jesus is talking about in this passage, who received the word with an emotional response, with an exuberant response. Now, let me tell you, emotion is not a bad thing. God gives us emotion. But when emotion falls out of line, and you guys who listen to the Hamilton Corner regularly, you know, one of the sayings that I, when I go places, people repeat to me, that emotions are horrible leaders, but they're wonderful followers. God has given us emotion. You listen to the show, you know, I don't sound like I'm narrating a golf tournament where you had a wonderful putt on the seventh hole. I get excited. Yes, I get excited. But the time when emotion becomes detrimental is when emotion begins to overwhelm the depth that the Word of God requires. The seed being sown among the rocky soil, Jesus explains in verse 16, and these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, but have no root in themselves. They endure for a while, then, but when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, they fall away immediately. This is something that hits close to home for me. I've had people very close to me shipwreck in their faith because they've been sold a bill of goods that focused or that revolves solely around emotionalism. And again, hear me well, I'm not knocking emotion, but it's when emotion undercuts or even overwhelms the depth that the Word of God requires, it becomes a detriment. I've had people very close to me who, just as this text said, when difficulty arises, their response is, wait a minute, I thought because I was saved, everything was supposed to be hunky-dory. Which is why I've shared what a deceptive message that would convey a gospel that denies the fact that Jesus says you will have trouble in the world. What I'm simply endeavoring to communicate today is for each of us to examine ourselves to make sure that we are not the type of Christ followers and salvation professors who have no root. So when difficulty comes, not if, when difficulty comes, we fall away immediately. The type of faith that the Lord invites us to have is a rich, deep faith. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Dwell in you richly. Now, why would the Lord say that through the Apostle Paul? Because the reality exists that you can be a topical believer, a surface level professor. You know, like you have a topical cream, you know, you just get it right on the top. You know what I mean? It doesn't get down into the, as my pastor back home in New Orleans used to say, the woof and the waff of your walk. The Lord's desire for his word is for his word to infiltrate every aspect of your being, not for mere emotive experience that feels good, but that it boils over into us giving our lives to him. The Lord gives us his spirit. He says this to us in Acts chapter 1. That he gives us the spirit of God to fill us for function. As a result of being filled. Now, of course, it feels good to be filled with the spirit of God. But we're actually filled for function. He fills us so that we would be his witnesses. He fills us for function. In order to function at the level that the Lord requires of us, the word of Christ must dwell in us richly. So we don't want to be those topical, surface-level believers that as soon as any minimal difficulty arises, we find our way departing. No, let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, and as a result, we fulfill the work of the ministry that God has called us.
Know Your Yuletide writes, "Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. It's Christmas time, a season filled with love, joy, and even legal questions. Every year, people wanting to celebrate Christmas are told to sit down and be quiet. That's why we at Liberty Counsel launched our annual Friend or Foe Christmas campaign, and now we are putting the Grinches on the run. Last year, we were contacted by a concerned public school teacher. The teacher received an email sent from the school principal which banned all Christmas themes, decorations, and symbols. Imagine those children couldn't even have candy canes or wear red and green. Well, the hostility demonstrated by the school principal is legally unfounded. The only legal requirement is that any Christmas display which contains religious elements must also contain some secular elements of the holiday. Thankfully, Liberty Counsel intervened and those students were able to celebrate Christmas. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/Christmas.
International, interdenominational, Wesley Biblical Seminary, Jackson, Mississippi. Now's the time for you to apply at WBS, Biblical and Theological Studies with a deep commitment to the authority of Scripture. Our online and on-campus graduate programs will give you the laser-like focus for ministry that you need. Wesley Biblical Seminary. Apply today. Preach the word. Reach the world. WBS.edu.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. But there is hope and healing from an abortion. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. 866-482-LIFE.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Hallmark used to be a network that was safe to watch with the whole family without having to explain awkward things to your children. Not anymore. When Hallmark allowed wedding planning company Zola to air a commercial featuring two lesbians kissing as they planned their same-sex wedding, pro-family Americans protested to Hallmark. The company immediately apologized and said it would never happen again. Then the bullies of Big Gay swung into action with their threats, and Hallmark abjectly surrendered in less than 48 hours. The commercial is back on, and Christmas movies about homosexual love will be sure to follow. It was perhaps the swiftest capitulation to the gay Gestapo in history. Time was when Hallmark movies did not need to come with a parental advisory warning. Those days are over. Watch Hallmark with your family at your own risk.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Switched out some equipment. I thought it would solve this, but I'm still hearing. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Huh. I guess somebody or something doesn't want me to talk about this impeachment because I'm about to go in. All right, so I'm fair warning, we're about to get political in a second. But before I go too far, let me remind you, for those who are in the Dubuque, Iowa area, Dubuque, Iowa, I, along with Wesley Wildman, Walker Wildman, both vice presidents at the American Family Association, as well as Rob Chambers, we will all be in Dubuque, Iowa on January 16th, 2020 at the Grand River Conference Center. I am going to be providing a keynote address there, and it's going to be an exciting time. And I'm encouraging you to all stay tuned because I'm going to be all over the country in 2020. A lot is going on in 2020, so I'm looking forward to being in Dubuque, Iowa. I've gotten some messages. Some people have already registered. The event is free of charge. There is no charge for this event. However, in order to attend, you will have to register. In order to register, all you need to do is go to afa.net/Dubuque. afa.net/Dubuque. Dubuque is spelled D-U-B-U-Q-U-E. It's Dubuque, Iowa. The event will be January 16th, 2020 at the Grand River Conference Center located at 500 Bell Street, Dubuque, Iowa, 52001. I would love to see you there. as we get things cracking in 2020. Now, shall we move on to the Democrats' favorite fruit? Impeachment. Of course we will. There were two pieces of news that came out this morning that when I saw them, they immediately framed for me what is going on right now in our country. They immediately framed this for me. One of those pieces of news were reports out of Washington that Nancy Pelosi informed her caucus that they are not to cheer the impeachment proceedings against President Trump, and they are also not to gloat. No cheering, no gloating, no cheering, no gloating. When I heard that, I thought, huh, mental note. Then I found this additional piece of news, and I'm going to play the audio so that you can hear it. But as you can imagine, the Talking Snake networks are holding all-day news coverage. And this is obviously a newsworthy item, so let me not portray that as if that's bad, that's something that's negative or inherently indicative of Talking Snakeness, because that is not. This is a newsworthy item to cover. But in their special impeachment coverage, there was an interesting statement made because Chuck Todd, who hosts Meet the Press on MSNBC, was having a conversation with Lester Holt, who hosts NBC's Nightly News. And in their conversation, Chuck Todd made some interesting remarks, and I want you to hear them. Jeff, I don't know if you can. We ready? Good. Okay, if you will, would you please play Chuck Todd talking to Lester Holt in clip number 9, please?
I was struck both just last night and this morning how unremarkable today is suddenly feels. And I say that because it is remarkable what's happening. It is historic what's happening. And yet it feels like, let's be honest, Lester, this feels like we're coming on the air dealing with a government shutdown threat, not impeachment. And the reason I say it that way is because that is how numb I think our politics is to what we're facing. I mean, this should be a moment where the whole country is basically having their own gut check, where We are having a national conversation trying to figure this out. But the fact that it feels like we're just sort of stumbling to this, that this isn't a larger conversation for the country to grapple with what this president is putting the Constitution through, I think just tells you how numb we are to this, to the politics that we participate in.
How numb we are to the politics we participate in? When I heard that, ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, I thought, got him, coach. Got him, coach. Now, why am I saying that? Chuck Todd, and this was at the beginning of MSNBC's and NBC's coverage of the impeachment process. And before I came in the studio, I was watching this stuff. It's still going on. Probably going to go on late into the night. They're probably going to vote on it either tonight or early in tomorrow morning, because of course they want as many eyes as possible to be fixated upon the impeachment proceedings. Now, why did I say that this was, it provoked the response in me, got him, coach? I'm going to tell you why. So I have grown to the place, and I've talked about the Talk to Snake Media, phrase coined by Brian Fisher, who I've lovingly adopted. He knows it, so I use it. I have grown to the point to where I realize the elected officials in the Democrat Party are not driving the Democrat Party. You notice that? What's actually driving the Democrat Party is the media. And it's the far left flank of the Democrat Party, because they have the bully pulpit, they have the platform to communicate to the people, and looking at the bungling way this impeachment deal was rolled out, I thought, very interesting. So when you consider the role that the Talking Snake Media plays, and you consider the audio piece you just heard from Chuck Todd, it paints a clear picture that they realize, the media I'm talking about right now, they failed in their objective. Now, what was their objective? All along, Jerry Nadler, when Bill Clinton was impeached, all along, the standard for impeachment has been it must be bipartisan in terms of elected officials in Congress, and it must have wide support among the American people. Have you, have people around you, has their opinion about this impeachment changed since the impeachment inquiry hearings were made public? I want to know. And actually, when we open the phone lines, I want to ask callers that very question. Has your opinion about impeachment changed since the impeachment inquiry began up to today? And have people around you, have their opinion changed about it? Because the media, the talking snake media, sought to influence the American public, primarily independents in America, to change their position to support impeachment. But the exact opposite has occurred. Sandy Rios covered this, I believe it was yesterday morning, but CNN has its own poll among Democrat voters whether or not impeachment remained popular. Prior to the impeachment inquiry, 90% of Democrat voters supported impeachment. Now, folks, this is a CNN poll. Not Fox News poll, not some other poll. This is a CNN poll. In CNN's own poll, and I saw, Camerata just like chomping her fingernails off, not literally, but figuratively, worrying over this one statistic I'm about to share with you now. In CNN's own poll, Democrat voters' support for impeachment dropped by 13%. In Democrat voters' own poll, among independent voters, it's even worse. It's even worse. And this is what drove Chuck Todd to come on national television and say, oh, this is an historic day. And I'm going to read what he said. He said, I was struck both just last night and this morning how unremarkable today has suddenly felt. On a day that he felt it should be remarkable, he's saying that it's unremarkable. Let's be honest. It feels like we're coming on the air dealing with a government shutdown, not impeachment. Well, why is that? Because the American people aren't buying it. That's why. And in fact, the opposite is happening. People that are opposed to President Trump, across multiple outlets are reporting, who are opposed to President Trump being removed from office has increased as a result of these impeachment hearings. All right, now I have to address some basic fundamentals concerning impeachment because I got a lot of questions this morning from people who seem not to understand the process. So the Constitution grants the House of Representatives the exclusive authority to... The verb there is impeach the president. But what impeachment is, it is the House of Representatives voting to formally accuse the president of what they are asserting are high crimes and misdemeanors. A vote to impeach the president by the House of Representatives does not by itself result in the president being removed from office. Throughout America's history, there have been two presidents who have been impeached. You have the his name just left my mind, but the successor to Abraham Lincoln, once Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, he was impeached. Which, by the way, I don't know how many people are aware of the basis of his impeachment. You want to know why he was impeached? Because President Abraham Lincoln's Secretary of War opposed slavery. And President Lincoln's Secretary of War did not want to remove Union troops from the South. Well, and if you can, I don't know if you have the time, Jeff, if you can find the guy's name. I just lost his name. Andrew Johnson, that's his name. I got it, Johnson. President Johnson was an outright racist. And he wanted to reverse some of the strides that were made following the Civil War and leading up to the Civil War. So Johnson wanted to get rid of the Secretary of War. Congress passed a law saying that any cabinet-level appointee would include the Secretary of War at the time, who had been appointed by the president and confirmed by Congress, could not be fired by the president without Congress's approval. So Congress passed this law. Andrew Johnson fired the Secretary of War anyway. So Congress drafted articles of impeachment against Andrew Johnson because he violated the law. That's the context. Even though Andrew Johnson was impeached because they had scores of racist senators in the U.S. Senate, the U.S. Senate did not vote to convict Andrew Johnson, so he continued serving as president. The second one president to be impeached was Bill Clinton. We all know his story, the blue dress, the lying under oath, the losing his law license because he's committing crimes, led to him being impeached by the House of Representatives. Interestingly, that there were Democrats who voted to impeach Bill Clinton in the House of Representatives. But the Senate, at that time, did not convict Bill Clinton, so Bill Clinton continued to serve as president. The same thing applies here. The Constitution allows the House of Representatives to impeach a president, which, again, would be the formal accusation of high crimes and misdemeanors by the House of Representatives. But in order for a president to be removed, the Senate would have to vote to convict the president. Based on the makeup of the Senate and the reality that the impeachment process is a partisan sham, in my estimation, it is expected that the Senate is not going to convict President Trump. Everybody who's paying attention to this knows that. Even the Democrats in the House of Representatives know it. Many of them have come out saying that we know he's not going to be removed from office, but we want to do it. Why? Because we want to have a permanent stain on his record. A permanent stain on his record. And folks, I've told you, if you know the president is not going to be removed from office, why are you going through with the impeachment? Because it's a politically motivated maneuver. And this is why Chuck Todd started off this impeachment process this morning saying, oh, you know, I'm pretty disappointed because, you know, it doesn't feel like this has the gravity that it should have considering the historic nature of impeachment. That's because the American people know that this is a sham. That's what's going on here. And that is, and of course they won't come out and say it, but that is a tacit admission by Chuck Todd that he recognizes that the media has failed miserably to move the American people away, or say it this way, move the American people to support removing President Trump from office. That's what it is. That's what it is. Chuck Todd wants it to be on everybody's lips, wants everybody to be concerned about, ooh, what's going on with the president? And the thing is, and I've explained all of this before, how are you going to assert an obstruction of Congress as a basis for impeaching the president when the Supreme Court has just said, you know what? Every duly issued subpoena against President Trump that he has not complied with, there are some issues that need to be litigated before us. So you want to impeach the president because he use his rights as an American citizen to petition our courts? Really? And this whole idea of abuse of power? I want to play a bit of audio for you on that abuse of power front from Representative Matt Gaetz. And you tell me what you think about this. I'm going to open the phone lines in the next segment. But listen to clip number 8 from Representative Matt Gaetz.
So let's see if we can get into the facts. To all of the witnesses, if you have personal knowledge of a single material fact in the Schiff report, please raise your hand. And let the record reflect, no personal knowledge of a single fact. And you know what? That continues on the tradition that we saw from Adam Schiff, where Ambassador Taylor could not identify an impeachable offense. Mr. Kent never met with the president. Fiona Hill never heard the president reference anything regarding military aid. Mr. Hale was unaware of any nefarious activity with aid. Colonel Vindman even rejected the new Democrat talking point that bribery was invoked here. Ambassador Volker denied that there was a quid pro quo, and Mr. Morrison, since there was nothing wrong on the call. The only direct evidence came from Gordon Sondland, who spoke to the President of the United States, and the President said, I want nothing. No quid pro quo.
And of course, you know, my man Jeff added those crickets. So you can hear, any of you, the witnesses against the President, can any of you identify an impeachable offense? None of them! Not one single solitary one of them! Well, we're going to remove the president, and the only one represented as have talked to the president, the very person he's saying he spoke to, Andre Yermach, is saying, nah, it didn't happen the way he said it. But they're going to go forward with impeachment. It's a sham, and American people know it.
Audio speed.
Camera speed.
Action.
American Family Studios is made up of a team of producers, directors, and writers.
Austin Brooks, director of American Family Studios.
We use different mediums like animation, film, documentaries, and audio resources to uplift, inspire, and encourage audiences all over the world.
Explore the assortment of resources from American Family Studios at afastore.net.
The optimist says we should look ahead. The pessimist says we should look out. And God says we should look up. In the midst of the chaos of our generation, we are to seek a perspective that can come only from God.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, What Do You Think? Next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Impeachment. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. We hate to interrupt your Christmas season with discussion of politics, but the President of the United States is about to be impeached for only the third time in our history. It's unlikely the Republican majority Senate will follow the Democrat majority House in impeaching President Trump. So why is the left still trying? Simple. The left's humanistic worldview that favors socialism, abortion, sexual and gender perversion, legalizing drugs, open immigration, and identity politics is being hindered by President Trump. Therefore, false and non-impeachable charges must be made up to diminish him so perhaps he'll lose the next election. Remember to pray for our leaders, that truth and righteousness would prevail. Hear more at thechristianworldview.org and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
For me, Truett means opportunities.
Truett means an adventure, place where I can grow and become more like Jesus.
This is somewhere I belong.
To me, Truett is like a home far away from home.
Everyone is family from all different walks of life and from all over the world.
To me, Truett means a second home.
Truett McConnell University is home for me.
Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and now you know why I love Truett McConnell University. The student journalist at Airline High School in Louisiana wanted to commemorate the reason for the season on the front page of the December edition of their newspaper. So they designed a Christmas tree filled with snowflake ornaments. On each ornament, students wrote a message about what Christmas meant to them. One of the students wrote, "I love Jesus." Randy Brown, the publisher of the Bossier Press Tribune, was about to publish the newspaper when he received an urgent call from the school. Stop the presses! The front page had to be changed. It seems the Bossier Parish School District feared the newspaper cover might trigger a lawsuit, so they ordered the students to remove the Christmas tree. Instead of selecting a new design, the students decided to leave the front page of their newspaper blank. It's a sad story. Young journalists expressing their faith only to be told they are not allowed to publish the good news. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. We will open the phone lines this segment, and I want to ask one question of the callers. This is the question. Since the impeachment inquiry was launched publicly by Nancy Pelosi, I want to know whether or not you have been persuaded. All right. Have you been persuaded? Has anyone near you been persuaded to embrace the impeachment of President Trump? This is what I want to ask. Because from what I'm seeing in national polls, and of course you guys know how I feel about polls, but in conversations, and I'm talking about people across the political spectrum. I have friends and associates all across the political spectrum. And what I'm finding is that the far left wing of the Democrat Party, the most regressive regressives, They are the most staunch supporters of impeachment. President Trump's supporters are staunchly opposed to impeachment. But I'm also finding the less regressive progressives are moving over against impeachment. Many of them did not realize that the impeachment case was so hollow. When I asked them, did you know that Andre Yermach was never even interviewed by the congressional impeachment inquirers? They say, no, really? When I asked them, did you know that all of the testimony before the impeachment inquirers was hearsay testimony that nobody had any firsthand knowledge? They think, what? So what I want to know is what is happening where you are. Have you been persuaded? Has your opinion changed about impeachment since inquiry was made public? And the thing that's hilarious to me is that you're asserting allegations of impeachment against the president that initially were grounded on President Trump's July 25th phone call to the Ukrainian President Zelensky. Then you have Nancy Pelosi last week go before the Politico Women's Forum and to say, we're not rushing impeachment. We've been working on this for 2.5 years. Oh, really, Fancy Nancy? Oh, really? So all this other jazz you were playing, and you didn't even have Louis Armstrong on the trumpet. All this jazz you're playing for the American people, you're just flat out lying. You're just flat out lying. And you're going for it. You have no facts. In fact, look, no facts. In fact, Maxine Waters even told us that. She has her speculations, but facts, I have no facts, but I still believe. Ha, please play clip number one, Jeff.
I believe, even though I don't have the facts to prove it.
Wait,
I
pause
believe.
That, pause that, pause that. I believe, ha, but I don't have the facts, but I believe. But I still have no facts. Play it one more time for the top, Jeff.
I believe, even though I don't have the facts to prove it, I believe that Putin wanted to lift the sanctions. He's always wanted to lift these sanctions that were placed on him because of his interfering with an incursion into Crimea. And so I believe that they wanted to elect President Trump. And Trump, I believe, agreed, I will always believe this,
always
that he
believe.
Agreed that if he got elected, he would lift those sanctions.
So she believes it. She's going to always believe it, regardless of the facts. I mean, didn't we just spend $45 million investigating that very thing? Didn't we just have 500 witnesses? This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about, and folks, that is what is being presented to the American people. They have no facts, but they believe, and this is what they really believe. They believe they know better than you smelly Walmart shoppers, who should run the country. They believe that you don't know what's good for you. They believe what Woodrow Wilson believed. That the American people should not be a government comprised by the people for the people. It should be, the leadership of the nation should be relegated to managers. Go and read up about it. Should be relegated to managers who will do for the American people what the American people are too ignorant to do for themselves. You see, when President Trump in his letter said, and let me get to the letter because I don't want to quote it wrongly. President Trump, man, you got to read this letter. I should have posted it. I haven't posted it yet. I'll post it later. But President Trump made this statement on page 2 of his letter to Nancy Pelosi ahead of this impeachment vote. He said, quote, so you have spent 3 straight years attempting to overturn the will of the American people and nullify their votes. You view democracy as your enemy. End quote. You view democracy as your enemy. Have you ever in your life heard these regressive politicians? And like I said, regressivism is a bipartisan institution. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. It's heavily weighted with Democrats, but it includes Republicans too. But have you ever heard regressive politicians refer so much to, wait for it, the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, and prayer? Do I need to rewind the tape to 2012? We want to make sure God stays in our platform. Boo!
Now all you can hear, Nancy, Fancy Nancy. Oh, this is such a solemn occasion with prayer. Come on, Nancy. Come on. These people actually, and John Maynard Keynes even said it. I know I'm jumping all over the place. John Maynard Keynes is the father of the economic concept of quantitative easing. He's the one that thinks you solve economic problems by flooding the country with printed money. He said it. He said, the founding fathers have outwitted us. They have outsmarted us by creating this diversity. What he meant by that, the separation of powers. It's too hard to try to consolidate power into a central, all-encompassing, all-imposing governmental state. These people loathe the idea that the American public can exercise their will, and their will won't comport with what they believe. Think about what they expected the 2016 election to be. And rather than introspectively consider where they may have gone wrong, they just say, well, let's just get them out of here. Because we have an insurance policy, as Peter Strzok and Lisa Page told us. These people, they only want you to have your right to vote when you vote for what they want. It's very similar to the tolerance conversation. I'll tolerate you as long as you agree with me. The moment you have a divergent opinion, then you must not be tolerated, and your speech must be considered a justification for me using violence against you. Think about that. Agree with me? It's all good. Everything is cool. Disagree with me? Hate speech, safe spaces, I need an emotional support animal, let me snuggle and cuddle with some bubbles. And that's what's going on here, folks. Nancy Pelosi slipped up and told the truth. They've been working on impeachment for 2.5 years. And the reality is it's been longer than that. The Congress just got involved 2.5 years ago. With that, to the phone lines, let's do it. We'll start in Kansas where Darren is on the line. Darren, the question of the day. Have you changed your mind on the impeachment of President Trump since the inquiry has gone public?
No.
And why not, Darren?
No, it's just, well, because it seemed kind of weird in the first place, but now the smoke and mirrors has been pulled back, and you're just really, really seeing how hollow it is. But in my opinion, besides the big smear campaign and trying to affect the next election, and another thing they're doing with your government shutdown reference here is they're just gumming up the works and stopping anything from happening. So maybe they can get in the way of his agenda. And plus, another thing that they're doing is they're throwing up a smokescreen against the investigation that Trump wanted in the first place.
Good point, Darren.
For the actions against him.
Good point. They're completely obfuscating the reality that President Trump was highlighting some of the corruption based in the Ukraine that really was a central part of his call. And he even explained in his letter to Nancy Pelosi, you're trying to say I did this for my personal benefit. He said, even in my reference in the call, I said to the President Zelensky, this is for our country. Our country has suffered several different things. So you raise a very, very, very good point. We'll go next to Arkansas where Jesse is on the line. Jesse, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program. Has your opinion on impeachment changed since the inquiry was launched publicly?
No, not a bit. May I speak freely for a moment, biblically?
No, Jesse, we don't have time for that. I'm sorry. I don't want to be mean, but we had a lot of callers that want to get in, and we don't have time for a soliloquy. I hate to say it that way, and I definitely appreciate you calling in, but we just only have time to answer the question that's on the table for the callers today and to articulate the reasoning for your answer to the question. So we'll go next to Texas, where Dwight is on the line. Dwight, welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Thank you for calling the program. Has your opinion on impeachment changed since the inquiry has gone public?
No, sir, not one bit. It appears to me that everything they try to put on Trump is something they're doing, and they want to say that he was going to do something with Putin, yet I believe we have on a live mic where Obama said after I was elected, I can do some more.
Ding da da ding da ding ding da ding da ding da ding da ding ding da ding. You hit the nail on the head, my man. It is amazing how at the very time the Russian collusion delusion was being asserted that the talking snake media completely, conveniently forgot that there was one, Barack Hussein Obama, who got caught communicating to Dmitry Medvedev that you tell Mr. Putin, and I think we might have the audio for you, you tell Mr. Putin that I need him to wait until after my election. Folks, this is right before the 2012 election. After my election, I'll have more flexibility and I can work with you then. Please play that audio, Jeff. I know you got it for me.
This is my last election. After my election, I have more flexibility. I transmit this information to Vladimir and Zelensky.
This is my last election. After this election, I'll have more flexibility. I understand. I will communicate this to Mr. Putin. Folks, this is sad, man. This is that when you pull back the covers and you recognize what's happening, you realize the great travesty that has been perpetrated on our country right now. We'll go next to Missouri, where George is on the line. George, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
For doing what you're doing. I think, Nancy, I called her office and I asked her, how many pieces of silver did you sell him out for? And I kind of wonder, Nancy, how stupid do you think the American public is to buy all this line that you're trying to tell us about this president? And he's done more good than the last 8 years ever thought to do. And I think that all the Democrats are afraid of him uncovering the magical rabbit hole so they can they won't be able to steal any more money from we the people of the United States. And I'm thankful for the president. I stand with him, and whatever they do, we pray for him all the time because he's been assaulted so many times by them.
Thank you very much for your call and your comments. So far, everybody's calling. They're saying that their opinion has not been swayed at all by this impeachment hearing. We'll go next to Arizona, out west, where they stay fresh, where I think it's Brittany on the line. Brittany, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Just Britain.
Britain. I'm sorry, Britain. I gave you a Y. You didn't have to ask for that. I'm sorry. Britain,
hey,
thank you for calling.
Excuse me now.
Don't what?
Don't confuse me now.
Oh, man, listen, I jollipies, Britain, I jollipies. Has your opinion on impeachment been changed by the public inquiry?
Well, of course not, but now I'm a truck driver, so I listen to AFR all day, almost every single day, so all I get is the actual true news. There's no basis to persuade me otherwise.
So you mean to say that having a consistent diet of the truth has inoculated you against the deceptive efforts of the Jekylls and Hydes in Congress?
Absolutely. But now I got to look at everybody else and you're shaking my head.
Britton, thank you so much for your call and your comments. Want to try to get as many as I can. And we'll go back to Texas, where I believe it's Niome is on the line. Thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
It should have never happened. This is ruining our country. They should have never done this. Nancy Pelosi is a liar. She is a liar. These Democrats are all liars. None of this should have ever happened. The Democrats are ruining our country. I used to be a Democrat. They left me. I didn't leave them. They left me.
Naomi, tell us how you really feel. Next time, I want you to be a little bit more forthright about it. Of course, you know, I'm just kidding. Folks, the reality is, and I'm telling you, that they are not saying this publicly, but people like Chuck Todd, the Talking Snake Media, and others, they know that this has been a big fat dud, and what they sought to accomplish, I believe, will result in us experiencing in 2020 what the Britons, shout out to Britain, experienced just now with Boris Johnson.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith.